feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you Christmas contraband and ancient.
Oh. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi. Tuesday morning on WGN. We do two for Tuesday, but we're doing a little different this morning because after 3 o'clock, it's going to be the 18th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show. So if you're going to do it, you want to come in and request two songs. You don't have to do one artist, two songs. You have to do two breakup songs or two sad songs or two anti-Valentine's Day songs. So that's your twofers this morning, 312-981-7200. Two breakup songs, anti-Valentine's Day songs. They don't necessarily have to be by the same artist. They could be, but those are your two choices because the theme this morning is anti-Valentine's Day. So get your requests in for that, 312-981-7200. Before we jump into anti-Valentine's Day, Jim Ryan is going to join us. Jim is a traffic reporter who, in fact, will be filling in for Esmeralda, who is going on vacation after this morning, and Jim will be filling in for the rest of the week. And he also writes about music, and we've had him on several times to talk about music, and he's reviewed concerts and festivals and other things here on the show. And he writes about it on his blog, Chicago at Night, which is on Chicago Now. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. And he's going to join us to give us his impressions of the Grammys. We talked about it yesterday, but we want to get another music fan's observations and thoughts on the Grammy Awards and the biggest night in music. So he'll be coming in after 2:30. Then after 3 o'clock, it's all anti-Valentine's Day. I want to invite people to tell their worst breakup stories. We would love to hear that. We are going to play some really sad songs. We're going to talk about completely inappropriate movies to watch on Valentine's Day, the most unromantic, the most anti-romantic, anti-Valentine's Day movies. We will also be sharing some real stories from people who have had horrible breakups. So we're going to talk bad breakups, sad music, and really terrible movies that are inappropriate to watch on Valentine's Day. The reason that we do this every year is because I hate Valentine's Day. I've always hated it. Even when I was happily married or with someone or dating someone, always hated it. It's a fake holiday, and it's also a holiday that makes people feel like crap for many reasons. If you're single on Valentine's Day, you feel crappy because everybody, oh, it's Valentine's Day, and everybody's got their little Valentine, and they go out and they have their little dinners and all that other crap. And then you feel bad because you're single. You don't have anybody to spend Valentine's Day with. Also, if you are in a relationship during Valentine's Day, why is this the one day a year where you're supposed to express your love? Why is it just that one day? And what if you had a really crappy day on Valentine's Day and you come home and you don't feel like being all romantic and you don't want to go out to dinner, but you're forced to? I hate it. I hate Valentine's Day and everything that it represents. So we will be anti-romantic and anti-Valentine's Day after 3 o'clock. That'll really kick into high gear. So that's coming up, and we've been doing it for years, and people have told us amazing breakup stories over the years. We've had phone calls and texts and stories that were real, and we've all gone through breakups. All of us have. I've written 4 plays based on breakups that I had, so you know there is something to be said for that, because you can create out of that. You know, a lot of great songs and a lot of great books and a lot of great things have been written or created out of the pain of a bad relationship. So that's one good thing about it. So anyway, that'll be coming up a little bit later on. You can check us out on Facebook. That's the best way to stay connected. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. And always check out our podcast. Subscribe at iTunes. It's free automatically. All of the podcasts will be sent to you, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there you go. All right. Let's say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I'm all right. Now, do you and Eileen celebrate the Valentine's Day?
You know, we're going to exchange cards later today, but the dinner and things we did over the weekend was our Valentine's celebration.
Okay. So. All right. And you guys, how long have you guys been together now?
We have been together for 8 years. I am very lucky because we met on a pub crawl And we received a shirt on that pub crawl, which I still have. So I have a shirt with the year on it in my dresser to remind me constantly when I would, because I'm not good with years. I always forget years. Mm. And so thankfully I have a shirt that says, oh, we met in 2008 in my dresser. So I always know we met in August of 2008.
Yeah. And the only reason that I know how long you guys have been together is because I remember the year that Forgetting Sarah Marshall came out.
Exactly.
That's because I know that was your first date.
Right.
So that was my reference point.
There you go.
If someone were to ever ask me, how long have Dan and Eileen been together? I'd get it like that. They've been together since 2008.
I purposely kind of chose our wedding date 8/4/12 for the numerical remembrance of it. So, you know.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So, but I'm right there with you. If it had happened on like 8/5/13, I'd be like, oh, we've been together for
23 years.
Yeah.
Well, all right. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hey, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. Will you be celebrating Valentine's Day, or did you guys do it or celebrate?
We don't go overboard. We don't exchange gifts or anything. But maybe, you know, I'll get flowers and maybe make a nice dinner. And we'll make an evening out of it. But nothing. We don't go overboard.
Okay.
This is my anniversary, though, as far as officially in a relationship with Jeannie.
Oh, you guys got together on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It just happened.
We did.
And it's funny because this morning when I was leaving, I leave about 12:45.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I'm leaving. You know what today is, don't you? I said, it's Valentine's Day. And she goes, it's also our anniversary. I said, yeah, it is. I did it on purpose so I would remember, and I forgot.
Nice. Very nice.
But I covered it up.
Okay. Good move, man. Smooth move, X-Lax, as they used to say. That's great. All right. Well, if you have any bad breakup stories that you care to share a little bit later on, Vic, the floor is open for that stuff this morning.
One popped right into mine.
We've all got Suburban
Huntley. Teaser.
Suburban Huntley. Okay, that's a good tease right there.
Yeah,
we've all got them. We've got some, and some people have some doozies, I can tell you that much. And we've had some incredible stories either texted to us or told to us by listeners, and we'll probably get a bunch of those after 3 o'clock. Again, 312-981-7200, and your 2 for Tuesday theme today, not one artist, two songs, but two breakup or two anti-Valentine Day songs. And in the traffic hut is Esmeralda.
Hello.
Esmeralda Leon. Hello. Now, you will be celebrating Valentine's Day by going to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. That's good.
We had a staying in. I made steak and stuff on Saturday, and we watched a movie. So we did that as, like, the celebration.
Aw.
Because today, who knows, I might rip his face off. Because we'll be traveling.
Yeah, you guys are going to be on a plane together. That's going to be enough to drive anybody nuts.
Well, yeah, on a plane and then going to a country where he barely knows the language.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to be the one directing everything.
Right.
So, yeah, I may just.
Yeah. You might come back single.
Yeah. Yeah. I may come back with, he just disappeared. I don't know.
He just disappeared. Just leave him in the middle of Mexico somewhere.
We'll erase the tape, Esmeralda. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
We got you covered.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got you covered. Also, Esmeralda, you and I are going to be doing, I wanted to get a pop-up video in before you go on vacation, because you can't leave for like four mornings and not sing.
So that's true. The cats are going to wonder what's going on.
The cats are going to wonder what's going on. The cats and Dave Ennett and his psychic feline army will be a little bit confused as to why they don't hear you singing. So we're going to get you into the pop-up video. And we have to inform Skip when he gets here. Dan, I know sometimes you're in contact with Skip Skipley when he's in his jet.
Right. Carrier pigeon.
Yeah, via carrier pigeon. You might want to get the carrier pigeon to go find Skip Skipley and tell him that the videos that we're going to have the quizzes about have to be breakup videos. They have to be songs that are anti-Valentine's Day.
Very good.
To keep the theme going till the end of the show.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what we got planned for the show. And again, Jim Ryan is going to join us to do another wrap-up of the Grammys. And then after 3 o'clock, it's all anti-Valentine's Day, featuring songs and movies and stories and phone calls and texts, 312-981-7200. So there you go.
Baby, 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 you're out of time.
Yeah. All right. This is our first song of the anti-Valentine's Day portion of the show. And it is the 18th annual Nick DiGilio anti-Valentine's Day show. I hate Valentine's Day. And so we are going to talk about your breakups, terrible breakup stories. We would love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. Talk and text. I'm going to recommend movies that are absolutely inappropriate and very unromantic to watch on Valentine's Day. And we also are going to talk about and listen to some songs. Now, Jim was just in here, and he requested the Rolling Stones' Out of Time, because he thought of it because it's Mick and Keith at their best, loving and leaving them and not caring anymore. There you go. Baby, you're out of time, Jack. So, all right, anti-Valentine's Day begins, and we would love to hear from you, 312-981-7200, talk and text, and get your anti-Valentine's Day twofers in. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the same artist, because normally it's one artist, two songs, but we want the songs to be breakup songs or sad songs or songs that are completely inappropriate for Valentine's Day. 312-981-7200, talk, text, requests, and all that stuff. All right. Now, speaking of songs, I've got here the saddest breakup songs of all time. Now, Dandy, you've gone through some breakups in your time.
I have.
Have you, were there certain songs or albums that you would listen to after a breakup? Were there certain songs that really hit you?
I actually had a compilation CD of all of my favorite sad songs,
mm-hmm.
That I had. So, it was because I'm a nerd, I actually created an actual album and tried to have peaks and valleys and rises and falls. And the one that was the killer, track 9, the most brutal, the
track
most,
9,
track
as you
9, you're playing along at home, was Amy Mann's Wise Up.
Oh, well, come on now.
You know, just
now you're talking my business
exactly,
right there.
Exactly, exactly. So, but the song I have for you this evening was the final song, the final track of 13.
And of course, there were 13 songs on it. Yeah.
And so this song is like the perfect mix of like, all right, you know, I got it out of my system. Maybe I'm going to be all right and things like that. So on one hand, it's a little uplifting. And then on the other hand, it's like, no, I'm not. Mm. And it's Sheryl Crow's I Still Believe. So we've talked about in the past, I have this happy Sheryl Crow, sad Sheryl Crow theory. I hate all of her happy songs. I adore all of her sad songs. and this is my favorite of her sad songs.
All right, here we go.
Even if it's a lie, say it will be alright, and I shall believe. I'm broken in two, and I know you're onto me, that I only come home when I'm so all alone, but I do believe.
Yeah. All right. Track 13 on Dan's disc. Yeah, man. I have a request, Dan, if you can find it. I've played a lot of songs when I've had breakups, and I've had a lot of breakups. But there was a song by Matthew Sweet, and it's just called simply You Don't Love Me. And it was on the Girlfriend album, which came out in 1992, which is a phenomenal record, by the way. One of the very best albums of the 90s, Matthew Sweet's Girlfriend. A girl, Leslie Presley, broke up with me. And I took that one real hard. I took the breakup of Leslie Presley real hard. And that album had just come out probably, the album came out, I want to say, like about 2 weeks before she broke up with me. two or three weeks before she broke up with me. That album came out, and at the same time, Buffalo Tom's Let Me Come Over came out at the same damn time. And that album features, of course, Tail Lights Fade, which is my favorite song of all time. But this is the, do we have the Matthew Sweet? This is, listen to this. I used to listen to this over and over and over again. In,
'cause you don't love me. You don't love me. You can't see how I matter in this world, even though I love you. You can't believe that if you find something you think might make you happy, then I guess it's okay. I think it's okay. You go away.
Yeah. Now picture me like driving around in my Ford Escort at 3 o'clock in the morning playing that over and over again on my cassette player, crying. And then alternating that with Tail Lights Fade by Buffalo Tom. That was me like March of 1992. When the whole thing went down. Yeah, it's like the 25th anniversary. She broke up with me right before Valentine's Day. It's like the 25th anniversary of Leslie Presley breaking up with me. Yeah, man, I gave that album a workout. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I've got a few more, though, that we'll talk about. I've got a few more. That's one of them. All right, what about you, Vic? You got a song that you would go to after a certain breakup?
Yeah, Dan asked me a minute ago, and one popped in my head.
Yeah?
It's by the old 97s.
Okay.
And there's a line in it. You probably won't be able to play enough of it to get to it, but there's a line in it where he basically says the girl turned his blood to dirt. So any song that has that lyric has got to be a good breakup song.
We have a little bit of that, Dan?
And I'm tired of making time. And I'm sick to death of love. And I'm sick to death of trying. And it's easier for you. Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah,
I got that cranked up here in the newsroom.
Just blasting it. Yeah, blasting it. Old 97s, those guys are good, man. That's a good band.
I liked them right from the start.
Me too.
You know, and I like their stuff because when you buy their CD, every song is good. It's not like three of them are good. You know?
I saw them at the Metro, and they have you ever seen them live?
Oh, yeah. Actually, never here in Chicago, though.
Yeah, I saw them at the Metro, and they kicked ass. It was a great show.
I did. I saw them at Shuba's once, but it wasn't the old 97s. It was just Rhett Miller.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, great stuff. And that's a good song. And there's one that Vic was playing repeatedly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We all have them. Esmeralda, do you have a song after a breakup that you would go to?
Yes. The last time a boy stomped on my heart was a couple years ago, and all I would listen to is a Spotify playlist called Sad Girl Song Day.
Wait.
That was just in the playlist of Spotify, and I was like, oh, I think this is meets my needs.
Wait, Sad Girl Song Day?
Yeah, I think it's a user who made it, but still, I was like, nope, this works out.
Yeah.
And on that playlist is Christina Perry, Jar of Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, just crying.
We have
that
one, Dan?
And who do you think you are? Running around leaving scars, collecting your jar of hearts, tearing love apart. You're gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul, so don't come back for me. Who do you think you are?
Yeah. That certainly qualifies, Esmeralda.
Yeah, no, that chorus. I'm like, oh god, yeah. Just tears and ugh.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of my other major breakups, one of the worst breakups I've ever had, was this girl, we lived together and we dated for 3 years. And she just like, it kind of, the breakup kind of came out of nowhere. And she broke up with me like in November of 2002, she broke up with me. And we lived together. So she just got her stuff and she left one night and we had, you know, we didn't even have a fight. She just was like, this isn't working anymore. So I'm leaving. So, and I'm like, I was totally in love with this girl. I'm absolutely head over the heels in love with her. And if people who listened to the show back in 2002, they know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention her name, but they know who I'm talking about. Cause I used to talk about her on the radio all the time and I had her on the air all the time. And so anyway, I went through this horrendous, horrendous breakup and she broke up with me and I had already purchased 2 tickets to see Amy Mann and we were going to go, the two of us were going to go. And, so she broke up with me like a week before the Amy Mann show. So I went by myself to the Amy. They had 2 tickets. One of them was meant for her, but I went by myself. It was at the Riv, I went, and so she first of all, it's Amy Mann, and she rules. And I'm the most depressed you can possibly be. And I'm on like beer 15 at that time, and I'm sitting there in the show, and she plays Wise Up, or no, I'm sorry, she plays Save Me, right into Wise Up, and I just lost it. I was sitting in the Riviera, bawling my eyes out. People were kind of looking at me like, you know, like what's wrong with this guy? And I just like, well, they're very emotional songs anyway. They're beautiful, and they're both from my favorite movie of all time, Magnolia, which is a very sad film, and so. Here I am. I just break up with this girl who I was totally in love with. And this ticket, this empty seat next to me was supposed to be hers. And I'm just like, then she plays those 2 songs back to back. I completely lost it. I was an absolute mess. Oh, my God. I'll never forget it. So the advice here is don't go see Amy Mann after a major breakup. Don't do it. Because, Dan, you know, the last time I saw Amy Mann in April at the Old Town School, she did those songs back to back again. So that's like her thing now. She likes to gut punch you twice.
I had him separated by 7 songs. Save Me was track 2 on the sad mix that I had.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. We're talking more sad songs and breakup stories. 312-981-7200. 2 for Tuesday, and the 2, it's not one artist, 2 songs, it's 2 breakup songs. 312-981-7200. We're also going to get to movies that I encourage you to watch if you hate Valentine's Day, because they're so inappropriate. That'll be coming up.
I am trying to break your heart.
Yeah. Jim Ryan picked another song here, Wilco, I Am Trying to Break Your Heart. And it's Nick DiGilio here, and we are live in the Allstate studio. It's the 18th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show. I hate Valentine's Day. So we're going to revel in sadness and breakups and tell breakup stories and listen to sad music and talk about movies that are inappropriate and completely unromantic. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And let's see for a second here. Let's talk about some horrifying breakups. These were online. This is on Nerve. A woman named Robin says, are you ready for this one, Esmeralda? It's a breakup story. Mm-hmm. I was dating an older guy when I was a freshman in college. A bunch of my stuff ended up at his place. Nothing major, but I'd let him borrow my VCR and a few other things. When I came back from Christmas vacation and went to his place, all of my stuff was packed up and neatly piled at the foot of his bed where he was sleeping. Apparently, as his way of telling me it was over. Even worse, my mom was waiting in the car downstairs at the time. There's your hint for you. All your stuff's been packed up. That's nice and subtle. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here are some sad breakup songs. Let's see if you agree with some of these, Esmeralda. Someone Like You by Adele.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Like half that album.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the whole album about
I think the entire album is about breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Are You Lonesome Tonight by Elvis? That's a great sad song.
Is that sad?
Yeah. Are you lonesome tonight?
Yeah, but I thought it was like, are you lonely? Come on over.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No?
Oh, no. Okay. It's a, if you won't come back to me, he says, then make them bring the curtain down at one point.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a lovely song. You know what? So I also, this is a topic that we haven't done in a really long time, Dan, is people who misinterpret the lyrics of songs. And we've talked about this many times, but we haven't done it in a while. One of my favorites ever, you know what one of my favorites ever is?
I assume your favorite band in high school?
My the Police. Yeah, well, don't, why am I blanking on the name of the
I'll
dams?
Be watching you.
Every Breath You Take.
Right.
Esmeralda, you know, I've heard Every Breath You Take actually playing at a wedding.
Yeah, well, you know.
And that song is about a stalker.
Right, but, you know, people. if you're fine with them.
And I remember when.
Watching you.
I remember a few years after that song came out, Sting was doing an interview and he's like, listen, let me explain something to you. I want to explain this right now. That I wrote that song about an ex-girlfriend that I was stalking. I was stalking her. I was standing outside of her house trying to see her. That's what the song's about. And people are like, what? And it's like the first dance at hundreds of weddings. No, one of my favorites is another one, Dan, is by Foo Fighters.
Times Like These?
No, There Goes My Hero. Mm. Now, because people play that, you know, they play that like in TV shows when someone's being heroic or if someone saves someone or does something. You know what that song is about?
Courtney Love, right?
No, it's about a guy comes home early and sees another dude coming out of his house.
No.
And his girlfriend was cheating on him. And he wanted to break. The song is about a guy who wants to break up with a girlfriend, but doesn't really have the courage to do so and is putting it off. He sees the dude leaving the house and he goes, oh, you're my hero. Now I can break up with her. Now I have an excuse to break up with her. There goes my hero. And people play that song and think it's about, you know, it's like, he's my hero. Best use of that song, though, by the way, is in The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. They use it pretty early in the movie. if you've not seen The Other Guys, it's the funniest Will Ferrell movie of all time. Okay. Let's see. We got to take a break. All right. Hold on, everybody. We've got a bunch of people who are calling in, and we'll get to your sad stories, breakup songs, breakup movies, all that stuff. It's the annual anti-Valentine's Day show because Valentine's Day sucks. 312-981-7200.
He stopped loving her today.
Yeah. The anti-Valentine's Day show continues. We're wallowing in it this morning. Glenn requested George Jones. He stopped loving her today. He says because nobody does breakup songs like country artists. Yeah, there's a lot of great sad breakup songs by the country artists out there.
That song is about his wife dying, though.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, all right.
I know.
Esmeralda said that's kind of a breakup.
Yeah. No.
In
I know.
No way.
It is the saddest song ever.
It is. Yeah, I know. It's one of the worst, one of the saddest songs ever.
Great song.
That's right. So it fits into that mold at least. But a lot of sad country songs are like the legendary country guys and girls. Dudes like who is it? Tammy Wynette did D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
That's his next request.
Oh, is that his next one? All right, well, we'll hear D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Just spell out the word divorce. All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Paxton on WGN. Hi, Paxton.
Nick, good morning. I, too, weep for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it sucks.
Nothing says it better than, I think it's the Gin Blossoms' first album,
yeah.
Totally Miserable Experience.
Yeah.
And there's a tune that fairly rocks. I found out about you, but yep. There's a line in there, and we've all done this. You break up with your girlfriend, you drive by her house, her boyfriend's there, and you watch the light go out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that Gin Blossoms album is a tragic. It's a first of all, it's a great album.
Oh yeah,
it's the first Gin Blossoms record is a great album. But the story behind that album is also really sad, really, really sad, because the guy, the lead singer and the guy who was the main songwriter who wrote all the songs on that record, was a massive alcoholic, and they kicked him out of the band because he was unreliable. They kicked him out of the band, and then just as that record took off, he killed himself.
Is he the guy that Things found out about you?
Yeah. Oh no, he sings all the songs on the record. He wrote all the songs on the record, and you know, Hey Jealousy, all those songs on that record.
Hey Jealousy, that's right.
Yeah, it's a great album, but the story behind it is so tragic. Like, you know, the guy, all of a sudden, these songs that he's on, that he wrote, they're selling like millions of records, these guys. And like, could you imagine like being in your car driving and you hear like a song that you wrote that you're performed and you're no longer in the band? They booted you out of the band? Terrible.
Well, Nick, you just added to the totally miserable experience.
No, that's exactly it. That record is it's an amazing album, but it's sad as hell. All right, Paxton, thanks.
You bet.
Take care. Yeah, that's a great record, man. That first Gin Blossoms album, it's so sad. I did Hey Jealousy at karaoke one night. The thing about that album is every single song on that album is about getting drunk and then apologizing to a girl. That's what every song on that album is about. Drunk, did something wrong, apologizing. That's like, okay. Let's see. Here's Ann on WGN. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Oh. Just dropped the phone. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Ann. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a song, this is a long time ago, but I was married and found out my husband was, cheating on me. And the song that stays with me is, I told you I love you, now get out.
I told you I love you, now get out is the name of the song.
Everything's rosy and everything's Jake, but just how much can a good woman take? I told you I love you, now get out. There may be times when I need you, there's no doubt. Maybe now you're something I can do without.
Yeah. There it is, right there. All right, Ann. Thanks for the call, Ann. All right. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, I don't have a horrible breakup story, unfortunately. I've had breakups, but sometimes I feel sad that I don't because everybody laments about it and I'm left out. But yeah. I guess I'm lucky. The Gin Blossoms you just brought up, those second album was called Congratulations, I'm Sorry.
Yes.
Because they were kind of, now they had hit it and it was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. It's such a tragic story, man.
Yeah, really... I know it is. And the second album was good too. I mean, it was a good album too. Not as popular as the first one. But,
right. Right.
Yeah. Weird one. But yeah, glad you brought up Misconceptions because I gave Dan two. The first one was Norwich and Wood. And the Beatles are very protective of their intellectual property, so Dan couldn't find a good cut of it.
Right.
But everybody thinks that's a great song. No, it's about John Lennon burning up a girlfriend's furniture after he breaks up with her.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I gave him a dark one and a good one. And the upbeat one is the breakup song by the Greg Kim Band.
Oh, yeah, sure. A great song.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a great song. And was it 82? I want to say.
I was just starting high school, so yeah. Well,
81 or 82?
Yeah, probably 81, 82. Yep,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I know I was in high school when it was, and then that song was huge.
Yeah, it was.
It was everywhere. All right, Carrie, thanks, man.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's another Here's another story. Abby says, I dated a guy for a few months. One day he stopped returning my texts and calls. This went on for a few days until I found out the real reason he wasn't talking to me. He was waiting for his breakup postcard to arrive in my mailbox. That's right. He broke up with me via postcard.
What?
Oh, man. Now, I've never been broken up with. Well, the technology wasn't around then. I've never been broken up with via text. Because by the time I had a cell phone, I was, you know, with my second wife.
Yeah.
And she broke up with me to my face. Mm. And then I had to live with her for 4 months before I found a new apartment and moved out and we got divorced. But so, no, I've never had that happen. I have been broken up with over the phone. But Esmeralda, have you ever been broken up with over the phone?
I've been what is called ghosted.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Explain for people who might not know what that is. We've talked about this before, but explain to people what that is.
So it's when you're talking to someone and you're texting, you're doing whatever, messaging, phones, and then the communication is just cut off completely. Like, they're a ghost and they just disappeared into the ether.
Yeah.
And you get no response from them whatsoever.
So you dated the person, you were calling, you were texting.
Yes.
Now, have you ever run into someone who ghosted you? And
no, thank goodness.
Because I was going to say, would you confront them? If you ran into somebody who ghosted you, would you come up to them and go, hey, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, there was the one that completely ghosted on me when I texted him a question if he wanted to go see a movie.
Oh, right.
And I never heard from him again. And then I found out he went to California.
Right. Right.
I would, still to this day, I think I would punch him in the face.
Right.
Just to.
Yeah, I remember that story. Would you like to go to a movie? He never replies.
Actually, he said yes. And then I asked what movie, and that's when he stopped. Yeah, I remember because I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I just remember, like, what movie do you want to go see?
Yeah,
and then
nothing.
Gone.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cold to get dumped over the phone. And,
yeah.
You know, I thought
Well, also, because what's the Seinfeld rule? You can't do it over the phone.
You can't do it over the phone if it's 7 dates.
Yeah.
Unless there's no sex. So 7 dates without sex, you can do it over the phone.
Yeah.
7 dates with sex, it's got to be face-to-face.
Right.
That's the rules, according to Seinfeld. And those are very healthy individuals in that show, too.
Oh, of course.
They know
completely.
Exactly.
Those rules make so much sense.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, the over-the-phone thing was not cool. It was just not cool. It was Leslie Presley, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Over the phone.
How long was that one?
How long did I date her?
Yes.
9 months? It was short.
Ugh.
It was short.
That's still, though.
Yeah. No. It was 9 months. I mean, we were together every single day.
Right. That warrants a face-to-face.
Oh, no question about it. But I'll tell you this. She broke up with me over the phone. Then I went to her place of business. I drove to where she was working, and I said, no, you're not going to do this over the phone. She was working it. I drove. Listen to this. I was like, I couldn't believe she broke up with me over the phone. And so I got in my car. She lived in Vernon Hills, and I lived in Chicago. So it was a 33-mile drive. So that's another reason I was dedicated to this woman. I was driving 33 miles to see her. So she was working at the Marshall Fields in Vernon Hills, and I went to Marshall Fields because I knew she was working, and I confronted her in the perfume department at Marshall Fields.
How'd that turn out?
Not good.
Did she call security?
No, it didn't get that crazy. It was
But just to get you out of the
No. I mean, I was not in my mind. You know what I mean? I wasn't like acting like a lunatic, but I went out there and I wanted to see her. You know, I was like, no, you're not going to do this over the phone. And went out there and we talked. It wasn't pretty. She took a break. We talked. And then I ended up leaving. And that was it. Then it was over. But I was not going to let it just settle over the phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not cool.
No. You know, and I was, you know, we were together for 9 months. It was a very intense relationship. And then I was like, this is not going to happen. So I drove 33 miles out to Vernon Hills in Marshall Fields to talk to her. I remember seeing her face when she saw me walking up. She was like, oh, my God. So, yeah. Then I'd get in the car and I'd listen to Matthew Sweet. So there you go. All right. All right. Let's check out the forecast for today. We got weather and traffic here.
That we could stop this D-I-V-O-R-C.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Valentine's Day sucks. It's Nick DiGilio here. This is my 18th annual anti-Valentine's Day show. We've got requests in, two for Tuesday requests from you guys, and it's two breakup songs or two sad songs or two anti-Valentine's Day songs. Glenn with Tammy Wynette and D-I-V-O-R-C-E. That song rules. Oh, man. Nice little spelling lesson in there. We're going to talk about great inappropriate movies to watch. We'll do that after 4. After 4 o'clock, I'll give you some suggestions of completely anti-romantic, the most inappropriate movies to watch for Valentine's Day. And we'll tell you about some of those. And Dan, you know, we can't not play the Bonnie Raitt song. That has to be played.
Yes, it is part of a 2 for Tuesday.
Ah, okay. All right. So, yeah, because, I mean, you can't have an anti-Valentine's Day show, talk about sad songs, and not play I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt. It's not possible to have a complete anti-Valentine's Day show without playing that song, which is one of my favorite songs ever of all time. All right. We got a ton of texts coming in because people they break up. And, you know, I got to say, this is every year that we do the anti-Valentine's Day show, it always pleases me how many people hate Valentine's Day as well. It's like, and how many people are feel cathartic when they share these horrible breakup stories and these terrible relationships that they were stuck in, and then the terrible songs that you like to play, you know, and then movies that you like to watch, and that kind of stuff. All right, let's go through here. Let's see. UFO Doctor Doctor is an anti-Valentine's Day song. It's also a jam. 312. Well, we've got this. 312 says, I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt. Sometimes it says it all. 708 area code says, Roy Clark called, Thank God and Greyhound, You're Gone. Jane says, the night that a boyfriend and I broke up, I drove around playing Michael Bolton's Tell Me How I'm Supposed to Live Without You and cried for a couple of hours. You were crying because you were listening to Michael Bolton. Wait a minute. Hold on a second now. Hold it a minute. Wait.
By the way, have you seen that trailer for that Netflix thing?
Yes, I have.
What is that?
He is, you know who you could blame for this sort of resurgence? You blame Andy Samberg. Blame the Lonely Island guys.
Right.
They brought him back and, you know, that damn Pirates of the Caribbean thing. And then it's like since then, Michael Bolton's now hip. And he was in the damn pop star movie with them. So now he's like weird and hip. That thing, though, on Netflix is strange. Just looks strange. 574 area code says, Hate Song by Porcupine Tree. I don't know what that is. Roger in Beloit says, don't usually listen to country, but Rascal Flatts' Come Wake Me Up appeared at the right time. I don't know how many times I used to listen to it. Alex says, Nude and Motion Picture Soundtrack by Radiohead, where I was left by my fiance for a man that she met in a community theater performance of Jekyll and Hyde. I'm sorry to laugh. But these two kept me right on the edge of despair of the following 6 months. Thanks for the catharsis. So, Nude and Motion Picture Soundtrack by Radiohead. I can't believe she met at a community theater performance of Jekyll and Hyde. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
V got dumped of sorts by this girl who went to like some sort of beekeeping convention or something. And what? She met someone there. And, yeah, when she came back, she's like, no.
She met a bee man. She didn't want a V man. She wanted a bee man.
She wanted a bee man.
That's ridiculous. Sue says, thanks for the show. I just got out of the breakup in a relationship and I thought was going fine. I'm willing to even be friends, but the guy won't text me back. I just want some closure. That's what I wanted, too. That's why I drove 33 miles to a Marshall Fields. 425 area code says, I fell hard for a guy, not too long, luckily, into the long-distance relationship. My boyfriend's stepfather died. I went online to find funeral details and saw the obit. After my boyfriend's name as a survivor, there was a married woman's name in parentheses. That's how I found out he was married. I called to confront him about it, but he never returned my call. That's terrible. All right. How about this one from someone named Melanie online here, Esmeralda? This is a doozy.
Okay.
I was engaged to be married to a guy. It was long distance, but we were just a few months from our wedding, so I quit my job. I gave notice at my apartment. Days later, he calls me, says, I love you, but I don't want to marry you, and I don't want you to move down here. Then I got a call. I had won one of those damn win the dress of your dreams contests in Bride Magazine. And I asked I asked them to give it to someone else.
Oh my gosh, that is so sad.
It's terrible, man. Someone named Laura online said, I was with a guy for several years. We were pretty serious, and I was obviously planning the wedding on Pinterest. One night, there was a knock on my front door. I opened it to find his mom standing on my doorstep. She immediately hugged me and started crying. I was, like, really confused by this point until I heard her say, I can't believe he broke up with you. Except the thing is, he hadn't broke up with me. His mom just did it for him. Yeah. Let's see. Justin says, I was living with a girl for more than a year, and she decided to break up with me after 2 years. And less than 2 weeks before my birthday. Then, because we worked at the same restaurant, she asked me to cover for her on Valentine's Day. She said it was important, and she asked to borrow my truck. So I let her. When she returned it to me, I found a receipt for the hotel room for that night in my center console. Happy Valentine's Day to me.
Are you kidding me? Goodness gracious.
Now, why would he loan the truck?
Because he's all gooey about
it. He's all sad. He's listening to Matthew Sweet. That's the problem.
And she's like, can you give me your truck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes men are saps.
Yep.
All right. Here's a couple more songs here. Crying by Roy Orbison. That song is so sad. And Roy Orbison's voice is like, you know, like an angel. And it's just, that song is really... How about Lost Cause by Beck?
Oh, boy.
That whole album.
Yeah, I think it is. That one's that's about a breakup.
No, the whole album is about... Yeah, it is. What's it called again? What's the album called,
Dan? Sea Change.
Oh, it's like, that's the... I'm not a Beck guy, but I love that record.
Oh, yeah, no, that's... Oh.
And I'm not a fan. I actually dislike Beck, but that album... You know who turned me on to the album? Because I never got into Beck. Colin. Colin Suter was like, listen, trust me. I know that you're a morbid, sad jerk with problems. You'll love this record. And he was right. And I don't like any other Beck records, but I think that album is great.
Well, and that song, Lost Cause, in the that Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah, the Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is on my list here of movies that you should watch on Valentine's Day.
Oh, man.
That's a great movie.
No, it's wonderful, but it's just, yeah, no. It's rough.
It is. That's why it's on the list. That's why it's on the list of movies that you should watch today. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It's such a great film. How about You Weren't Meant for Me by Jewel?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Stay by Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, but I don't see that one as, I don't know why.
It's because of her glasses.
As sad. I think it's a little more upbeat.
Yeah. Every time I hear that song or whatever, I think of Ethan Hawke. Every time. I wanted to punch him right in the face during that Reality Bites movie. I just wanted to beat the crap out of him in that movie.
Hello, you've reached the winter of our discontent. Have you ever answered the phone that way?
I hated him so much in that movie. Oh, God. All right, we got a break, and then we'll come back. And speaking of movies, we'll tell you about some movies that you should watch that are completely inappropriate for Valentine's Day on this anti-Valentine's Day show. And after 4:30, we'll have an anti-Valentine's Day themed battle of pop video, pop-up video. All right, news in 5 seconds.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Quick, sing a sad song.
Oh.
One is the loneliest number that you've ever known.
When in doubt, just go right.
Number.
Just go right to the Magnolia soundtrack.
Oh, is that? Well, oh, that's right.
Andy, Vic, can you give us the out cue again?
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
God, do I love this song. 708 area code requested two songs that he knew Nick would love. Aww. Wham's Careless Whisper.
Do you listen to this and hold yourself like he does?
I do, yeah. And I stand on a balcony. And I get all reflective.
And then air saxophone.
Yeah. Oh, that saxophone is good on that song, man. So there you go. Hey, you know what? Valentine's Day is today, and Valentine's Day sucks. So we're doing my 18th annual anti-Valentine's Day show. We're playing all anti-Valentine's Day and unromantic and sad songs, breakup songs. We're talking about our breakups. If you want to share yours, 312-981-7200, and you can also text those in. And I'm going to tell you some movies that you should watch if you would like to celebrate anti-Valentine's Day. If you want to share your stories, just send them out, text them. And after 4:30, Esmeralda and I are going to play, because we want Esmeralda to sing before she goes on vacation, because she's going to be gone for four shows, right? Wednesday,
yes.
Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're missing four shows. We can't go four shows without Esmeralda singing.
Those cats will start to get disoriented.
We got a little taste of it just now. But that's not enough. So Esmeralda and I are going to play some pop-up. Thank you. Esmeralda and I are going to play some pop-up video. Skip Skipley, did you send the pigeon?
The pigeon landed on the plane wing, yeah. Delivered the message. We are good to go.
Okay. And the videos that we will be quizzed on will be breakup songs or sad songs, keeping in tune with the theme of this morning's anti-Valentine's Day show. Now, we mentioned Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. If you would like to watch that movie, you now, Esmeralda, you agree that that's a great one to watch for anti-Valentine's Day?
For sure. Yes.
Yes. Way up high on my list is my favorite film from 2010 with Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams, a movie called Blue Valentine. Esmeralda, have you seen Blue Valentine?
I haven't, but I have heard it's pretty rough.
Oh, my God. And it was especially rough for me because the circumstances in which I watched that movie. I got a screener for it at the end of the year. And at this point, I had been confined to the quote-unquote extra bedroom in our condo when my ex-wife and I were going through the divorce. And I was, you know, I would leave the room to get something from the kitchen or go to the bathroom and then go right back into the room. And I had the screener for this movie, and the movie Blue Valentine is about the disintegration of a marriage. And it cuts back and forth between the early part of their relationship when they first met to what's happening now and as everything is pretty much destroyed. And it is painful and brutal. Here's what they say about it. Director Derek Cianfrance's approach is the best of John Cassavetes with a gloomy portrait of the last days of a marriage intercut masterfully with the cheerful early days of their union. The contrast is astonishing and depressing. Look how much they used to love each other, the movie assures us. And it ends up in a cold, ugly, sexless, loveless marriage. A hard and unforgiving movie, but brilliant and spectacularly acted as well. And it streams on Netflix if you would like to watch that. And I encourage everybody to watch it. So I watched that movie under the circumstances of what was happening in my living situation with my ex-wife. And I watched that movie in the extra bedroom with a bottle of whiskey. I watched it, and I had a bottle of whiskey sitting next to me on the nightstand, and I was a mess. So I highly recommend Blue Valentine. Another great movie about divorce, if you want to, since we're talking about it, it's anti-Valentine's Day, is a film called Shoot the Moon from 1982. One of my favorite movies ever made. The best movie ever made about divorce, ever. It stars Albert Finney and Diane Keaton. And it's about this couple who are going through a divorce. They get separated. They've got four daughters, and they go through this divorce, and because Albert Finney is having an affair with Karen Allen, and then Diane Keaton starts to have a relationship with the guy who's hired to build their tennis court that they were going to have on their home, and he's played by Peter Weller. Directed by Alan Parker, written by the great Bull Goldman, who wrote the screenplay for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's a great film, a great, 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 heartbreaking, intense movie with incredible performances by everybody involved. The kids are great in it. It's got, by the way, it's got both Tracy Gold and what's the girl, Tina Yothers. They play, they're, you know, from two iconic 80s sitcoms. They both play two daughters, and two of the four daughters are played by Tina Yothers and Tracy Gold in that movie. And the late great Dana Hill plays the eldest daughter. She passed away very young, and she's amazing in it. So it's called Shoot the Moon, one of my favorite movies in general of all time, and one of the best movies to watch on anti-Valentine's Day.
What are your thoughts on, at least for me, this would be an anti-Valentine's Day movie, Celeste and Jesse Forever?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good choice.
That I hadn't. So my ex of 10 years, we were still living together.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you should see this movie. This is like us. And I finally got to watching it. I was by myself. And I just started bawling the whole way through.
He said this is us?
Yeah. He's like, this is pretty much us, except I forget what he said, like, except something. I just started crying and crying, yeah, and crying.
Sometimes,
I'm like, oh my God, this is like a...
Sometimes it hits you. Sometimes, you know, when, yeah, you go through that kind of stuff, it just hits you. You know what is also on one of these lists, Esmeralda? You'll be pleased to know.
What's that?
For your anti-Valentine's Day viewing, Romeo plus Juliet.
Oh, yeah.
The Baz Luhrmann.
You just see some ugly crying.
Yep.
By... Claire Danes.
Claire Danes. Claire Danes, who would perfect that in Homeland.
Oh, she's good at that ugly crying.
Oh, man, and she would do, like, nice, fantastic facial twitches on Homeland. She would do the fantastic Claire Danes crying,
mm-hmm,
and then add the crazy twitching face.
Yeah, and she started that in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's an adorable, she's an adorable woman. And yeah. And of course, I love her on My So-Called Life. She cried on that show a couple times,
right,
too.
But she just distorts that face.
Yeah. Oh, especially in Homeland. Oh, my God. Like, every week in Homeland, I'm like, what's she doing? Do you guys remember the sketch where Anne Hathaway played her? When they did the satire of Homeland, and they had Anne Hathaway play her?
It's just her crying a bunch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh no, she's having one of those jazz freakouts, and they put like that weird jazz score on, and then they keep cutting to Anne Hathaway's face, and at one point, if I remember correctly, Kenan Thompson said, it looks like she's chewing with her eyes. was one of the lines. So, all right. Yeah, Romeo plus Juliet on the list, Esmeralda. There you go. All right. Okay, we got a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we got more perfectly appropriate anti-Valentine's Day movies that you should absolutely watch. I hope you're marking them down.
No, you won't.
Oh, boy. I love this song. Hey, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Valentine's Day sucks. It's the 18th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show. And I'm your host, Nick DiGilio. And we're talking about breakups and sad things and people that broke your heart. And we're also talking about songs that are sad. That's one of them. Also beautiful. A perfect song. One of the greatest songs ever. I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt. And I've got some movies here that I think you should watch today in honor of Anti-Valentine's Day. And also right near the top of the list, a film, in fact, that I screened 2 years ago at my film club screening. And it was 3 years ago? 2 years ago. 2 years ago. I screened The War of the Roses. And Esmeralda, have you ever seen War of the Roses?
I haven't.
It's so good. Dan, you've seen it, right?
I have, a long time ago, though.
Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas play, it chronicles their relationship where they meet and then they have a couple of kids. And as they grow older, they grow apart and it turns into this insane, crazy, dark black comedy about these two people who hate each other and neither one of them will give up the house. So they're living they're living in the house at the same time, and they start doing horrible, horrible things to one another. Danny DeVito directed it, and he stars in it, and he plays their lawyer. He plays Michael Douglas's lawyer, and it is hilarious, and it's beautifully directed, and it's dark. And it ends on the bleakest of notes that you can possibly end a movie in such a dark and hilarious way. So I highly recommend War of the Roses, an ultimate anti-Valentine's Day movie, a great movie, a hilarious movie, and a dark movie. There's one part of the movie, and I've talked about this on the air before, there's one part of the movie that makes me angry, and it's... At one point, they've done horrible, horrible things to one another. And in the movie, Michael Douglas goes out in the middle of the night for some sleeping pills, and he gets in his car and he runs over. She's got a cat. He's got a dog. The cat and the dogs hate each other, and he hates the cat and she hates the dog. Okay, so it's the typical Kathleen Turner is a cat person, Michael Douglas is a dog person, and they hate their opposite pets. So he goes out and accidentally, doesn't do it on purpose, accidentally runs over her cat and kills it. And then like scoops it up with a shovel, puts it in a baggie and doesn't tell her. And then she's looking for the cat, she can't find the cat, finds out that he killed the cat. So late in the movie, it's turned into a war zone. At this point, the windows are all boarded up. They've locked themselves inside the house. They've tried to kill each other. They've thrown stuff at each other. The house is a war zone. The kitchen has been burned down, and it's just this twisted, gothic sort of movie. And she says, she leaves a note in the hallway that says, "I think we should meet in the dining room. We should talk." So he meets her in the dining room, and she plays a caterer. She starts her own catering business, and he talks about how much he loves her pate. So as they meet, and he thinks it's going to be a truce, Kathleen Turner comes out, and she brings out a tray full of pate. And he starts to eat the pate, and at one point he says, anybody who makes pate this good can't be all bad. And then she says, well, that depends on what the pate is made of. And then she goes, woof, woof. And he goes nuts, and he flips the table, and then the whole movie builds up to them trying to kill each other for the last like 10 minutes, and he just goes nuts. And now in the original book, in The War of the Roses, the movie that the book that the movie is based on, she does indeed kill the dog and make pate out of him and feed it to him. In the movie, they cut away to a shot of the dog outside, like when he flips the table, suddenly they cut away to the dog outside like he's okay. In the original test screening, Danny DeVito screened it without that. He didn't have the cutaway. So it implying that she did indeed kill the dog and make pate out of him and feed it to him. Audiences went nuts. They went nuts. On the scorecards, they were like, no, 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 no. It was overwhelming. Now, this movie's a very old movie, so I'm going to ruin the ending. They both die at the end of the movie. Both of them are dead at the end of the movie. The couple dies, and they're trying to kill each other. So they die, and, you know, nobody makes a big deal out of that, but they went nuts over the fact that, that there's an idea that this woman probably killed this dog and made pate out of it. So Danny DeVito had to put that cutaway in. And it's the one moment in the movie where I'm just like, oh, man. Because the movie gets darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. By the end, it's pitch black and they're dead. And that one step that they that DeVito stepped back, I was like, no, man, the dog should be dead. She made pate out of the dog and he ate it.
No one, you could, people aren't as important as animals. To some people.
I know, but it's just, I always find that, and I know that that's the case, it's been the case, but I always find that really strange, that people will go nuts if a dog, like, gets hurt in a movie, but you could behead a person in the movie, and they're like, yeah, that's fine.
You know why? Because people are inherently selfish, and there's some sort of bad in them.
Yeah.
But dogs.
No,
are
I know,
just,
and they're selfless. You know, and I know that, and they're
they love everything. So I think that's what people are like. No. Oh, whatever. You probably did something bad anyway. Yeah, take his head off.
Right, and it's a defenseless animal. I realize that, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. But when you're making a dark comedy, a really black comedy, and you want to go there, man. So I don't know. But yeah, I always thought that, you know, Danny DeVito talked about how it was the angriest test screenings that they've ever had. It was a 20th Century Fox film, and it was the angriest test screens they ever had. Every single person, they didn't talk about the movie. They didn't talk about the fact that the two main characters die in the movie. All they talked about was the dog. They were like, you can't do that! So Danny DeVito with the studio's like, look, Danny, you got to put this cut, you got to put a shot of the dog in there. They got to make sure everybody knows the dog's still alive. So, anyway. All right. Hey, speaking of divorce, how about Kramer versus Kramer? That's a lovely one. And speaking of divorce again, Dan, here's one, Revolutionary Road.
Oh,
you yeah. know that Kate Winslet, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that movie.
My buddy Michael Shannon. Oh. He's not really my buddy.
Yeah.
But he, oh, my gosh.
So good.
That amazing. Whole thing he did.
Yep. Nominated. Nominated for an Academy Award.
Eileen made me take it off, turn it off. She couldn't.
No, it's brutal.
She couldn't take
it's
it.
I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I was just like, I'm like, would you be mad if I watched it after you went to the bed? She's like, no, but I cannot watch this movie any minute longer.
One of the things about that movie is the way Sam Mendes starts it, because he starts it when they first meet. They're at a party, and they see each other, and there's sparks, and they meet, and it's wonderful. And it's one of those really natural, oh, my God, there's a lot of chemistry, these two people really love each other. They're going to have a great future. And then he slam cuts to them screaming at each other in the car. Like after the movie, I was like, oh, okay. It's this kind of movie. All right. And you know what he followed it up with, Dan? He made this, like this movie that is like the one of the most bitter, anti-marriage, horrible, suffering relationship. First of all, the fact that he cast Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio is brilliant. Genius. Genius, because it's like, oh, it's the Titanic couple. That's so sweet. Then they're screaming at each other and treating each other like horribly. But he followed it up with Away We Go, which is one of the sweetest and most wonderful relationship movies ever. Have you ever seen that one, Esmeralda?
I have. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that movie so much. John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph. I think Sam Mendes needed to. He's like, look, I got to cleanse my palate and make a really sweet romantic movie. So. We don't want to talk about Away We Go because that's a very wonderful romantic movie. That's not what it's about today. All right, we got a break. We're going to take a break, and Skip Skipley will be here after the news. All right, we'll take a break. News is next. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has your opening bell at 5. And my buddy, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. This is the 18th annual Nick DiGilio Anti-Valentine's Day show. Valentine's Day sucks. I hate it. And we are reveling in sad songs and inappropriate movies to watch for this day. And it sucks. And Esmeralda has joined me in studio. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
Esmeralda, getting ready for her trip. You're going to Mexico
mm-hmm.
with thee.
Yeah.
You're going to come back divorced.
Well, it worked out because we were never married.
Oh, all right. You said you might tear his face off a little earlier. That's
right.
A nice romantic thing to say on Valentine's Day. I hope you have a great time. We're going to miss you while you're gone.
Oh, thank you.
And so because you're going on vacation, we wanted to play a round of pop-up video.
Yes.
So we can hear you sing because Dave Ennett and his feline army, his psychic feline army, and all of the alley cats here around Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, they'll get real confused.
They'll miss you. So we had to play a round of pop-up video. But because today is my 18th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show, it's going to be an Anti-Valentine's Day themed pop-up
Perfect.
Video. But first, we need to look, Esmeralda, look who it is.
Who's that?
It's Skip Skipley.
Hey, what? Guys.
Hi, Skip.
How are you?
All right. Great. Thank you for coming out of retirement.
Hey, you know what? Chuck Woolery understood.
you were hanging out with Chuck Woolery.
I spend every Valentine's Day with Chuck.
Oh,
love connection. Do you have a love connection?
No, we just try to help people out.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So,
well, that's sweet.
It's natural for him. You know,
yeah.
I understand where you're coming from. I appreciate it, and I support your catharsis moments. That's why I'm here.
Okay. So. Well, thank you, Skip Skipley.
Yeah,
I appreciate
so I was
that,
like, Chuck.
Tell Chuck you'll be back in 2 and 2.
What an understanding man.
Okay. Are we ready now for the?
Yes.
All right. What do we got here? Now let's hear it. All right. So this is the board game version of the pop-up video, and they're two-sided cards that Skip Skipley is going to read from. There are questions about a certain video and a song. And then on the other flip side of those cards is the is questions about pop culture related things that have to do with the song.
Yeah, which I imagine this would have been an episode, heartbreak songs.
Heartbreak episode. Yeah, sure, but because they had those lovely themed episodes of pop up video. Okay, all right. Am I first, Skip?
You are.
Thank you.
You are. So we would like to hear a little bit of Prince's "When Doves Cry."
Oh man,
this is meant for you.
Yeah, hold it. No, I gotta. It's just so weird because I know this song, you know, backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
You wore the right outfit for today. The poofy shirt looks great on you.
Thank you. Is my eyeliner okay?
It's perfect.
Thank you. Let's
Your
see.
Vision in purple.
Oh man! I can't believe I'm blanking on this. Dig, if you will, a picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. Animals strike curious poses. We can be between me and you. How can you just keep me standing alone in a world that's so cold? So cold. Maybe I'm just too maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe I'm just like my mother. She's always satisfied. But how can we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
Doot, 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 doot.
Doot, 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 doot. That song rules. All right, does that count?
Yeah, well, for somebody who doesn't remember it quite well, we weren't expecting a verse and chorus, but
I struggled a little bit. But.
God bless.
Some doves flew out from behind you.
No,
did you know?
Yeah.
Did you like me getting out of the pool, out of the tub naked? That was fantastic, wasn't it? Me just rising out of the tub naked, making sexy eye contact with everybody?
Hey, Dan, 441.
Oh, thank you, Skip.
Yeah.
All right, Skip. What's next?
Hey, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
When Doves Cry was written for what movie?
Purple Rain.
That is correct.
It would have been great. What does he walk out of naked?
Was it? It would have been really funny if that was multiple choice. Okay.
All right, Mr. Giglio.
What happened?
What Prince protege was briefly married to Dennis Rodman?
Carmen Electra.
That is correct.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. All right.
Lovely couple.
They were a lovely couple.
Esmeralda, what soul singer and Purple Rain co-star Morris Day's band name? What was soul singer and Purple Rain's co-star Morris Day's band name?
So what was the band name?
Yeah.
Okay. the time.
That is correct.
Well, as that should be in present tense after their performance Sunday night.
Yes.
With Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas.
Who is.
Yeah.
Not what was.
What is the name of Morris Day's band?
That completes the first side of the card.
Oh!
Wow. You really got that Prince thing down.
Yeah. All right. Mr. DiGilio, this is multiple choice.
Oh, boy. What? Skip's losing control of this show right now.
I'm just... I'm trying to find the connection here, but perhaps you can expound upon it. What's Morgana the Kissing Bandit's most prominent feature? A, her red hair.
Seriously, this is
multiple choice for some reason. B, her height. C, her dazzling smile. Or D, her chest.
Ironically enough, D or double D. It's her chest.
That is correct.
Yeah. Wait, who is this?
Morgana, she's the Kissing Bandit. She used to show up at sporting events and run out onto the field
with
her gigantic boobs flapping
that
around.
That name sounded very familiar.
And she would kiss players, and then they would escort her out.
Oh, okay. I thought it was some sort of alien from a movie.
I don't know. Maybe was there a reference to Apollonia's boobs in the video?
Perhaps.
Okay.
All right. Esmeralda, what is a dove's cry called?
This is not multiple choice.
This is not multiple
Morgana's choice. Boobs were multiple choice, but this isn't.
Okay, all right. A coup?
That is correct.
All right.
Bravo.
Yeah. Perfect so far, Esmeralda. We're rocking it.
We're doing well with misery.
On anti-Valentine's Day, that's right. All right.
Nick DiGilio,
what happened?
Another multiple choice.
Oh.
The opera Carmen is set in what country? A, Mexico. B, Spain. C, Detroit. D, Algeria.
Wait a minute, wait. One of the choices is Detroit?
Yes.
It's Spain.
That is correct.
You know, I think they did the Detroit because MTV did do the hip hopera Carmen. if you remember.
Okay, and I'm assuming my guess is that that's because of the way the reason why that's in the questions, because of the way Prince is dressed.
Oh, right, with the ruffles.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
absolutely. In the heels and everything, he looks like a flamenco dancer of some kind. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Final question of the card, Esmeralda, who wrote the song "Time in a Bottle"? Not multiple choice again.
Are you kidding me? She's not getting multiple choice on this.
What is Time in a Bottle?
That was 15 years before she was born.
Was still.
Poor shame, pop-up video gay makers.
Morgana's boobs get multiple choice. And who wrote the Time in a Bottle? You're not going to get it, Esmeralda.
No, I don't know at all.
It's Jim Croce. You probably don't even know who that is.
I know who Jim Croce is, but I wouldn't have.
No.
Couldn't have told you that.
That's ridiculous. Skip, come on.
Hey, man, I just read the question.
He's just the messenger.
I just fly in, and I look down, and I read, man. I don't make them up.
Now he's going to fly out. He's retiring now. That's
later.
It. Yep, Skip, he's going to retire. Okay, at the end of round one, it's 4 for me and 3 for Esmeralda because they didn't have a multiple choice for a Jim Croce question. Ridiculous. All right. I'm madder than you are, Esmeralda. And I'm winning.
She's going on vacation, though.
Yeah, right. She doesn't care. She's off to Mexico in a couple of hours.
I'm also used to losing. So.
Oh, well, it's anti-Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. You have my heart. Yeah. Anti-Valentine's Day continues. May 18th annual Anti-Valentine's Day show because Valentine's Day sucks. Kathy requested Adele Rolling in the Deep. Adele is a good artist for Anti-Valentine's Day.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, like all of her stuff is.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was James Corden when they did one of them karaoke things, the carpool, and he asked her, like, You're happier now. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, with your music.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah, oh gosh, that's true.
Yeah. All right, it's Nick DiGilio here, and Esmeralda and I are battling in an anti-Valentine's Day edition of Pop-Up Video The current score is me 4, Esmeralda 3, because they asked a non-multiple choice question involving Jim Croce. Skip is back.
Hey, guys.
Oh, good.
Skip Skipley, how are you?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
You were back in 2-2.
I was back in 2-2. Chuck.
He was taking after his friend.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. So
listening on the plane.
There we go. 4 for me, 3 for Esmeralda, and now we start a new card, and now the cats have to be ready. The Alley Cats are lining up in the streets right now. All the Alley Cats are lining up down Michigan Avenue.
It's like I'm Catwoman.
That's exactly right. It's like the scene in the movie with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
The cats are all out.
Without the outfit.
They're ready to go. Dave Bennett is psychically controlling his army of felines.
Nick came in an outfit, Esmeralda.
And
yeah, I know. I just didn't
I just came
so
out of bathtub.
Because you're going on vacation doesn't
yeah.
mean you could skip out on Outfit Tuesdays.
Outfit Tuesdays, Chuck?
Outfit Tuesdays.
Chuck, I'm calling you Chuck. You're Skip.
That's fine. It's a...
I answer to anything. All right. What do we got there, Skip? Esmeralda goes first.
Esmeralda, we would like to hear Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
Two Prince songs this morning.
Oh, is that the theme as well?
Ugh.
Prince.
Two Prince songs.
Sad Prince.
Yeah, Sad Prince.
Okay. I can eat in a fancy restaurant, but nothing can take away these blues, 'cause nothing compares to you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You cried and everything.
I
it was
know.
Fantastic. It was fantastic.
You gotta get into it. Didn't you notice, Skip, I shaved my head? Gosh.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Man.
It was really fast, too, because like 2 seconds ago he told us what the song was.
I know. Well, I got one of those Flobies.
Right.
You got a Floby.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that going to work with your passport photo?
It. You know, it's a wig. I glue it back on.
Ouch.
What in God's name is happening on Anti-Valentine's Day Day? All right, what's next?
Nick, this video consists of mostly of shots of what?
Sinead O'Connor's face.
That is correct. Esmeralda, what sacrilegious act did Sinead O'Connor perform on Saturday Night Live?
She tore up the Pope's picture.
That is correct.
Absolutely right. And I remember watching that live.
Missed it.
And well, you can't see it now.
I know,
it
but
I
was like, I don't want to see her do the thing. And I think I walked up to my room or I did something. And then my mom's like, you missed what happened. I was like, what?
I couldn't believe it was one of the greatest moments of live television ever. I was just like, did she just do, was that real? I was
yeah.
with my girlfriend at the time, and I was like, what? And we broke up. All right.
Mr. DiGilio.
Yeah.
Which shock comedian once referred to Sinead as that bald chick?
That would be Andrew Dice Clay.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
Because she boycotted when he hosted the show. When he hosted Saturday Night. This was before she tore up the Pope. She boycotted the show, her and Nora Dunn, who was a cast member at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They boycotted because they thought he was misogynistic.
Right.
And so they, yeah. Mm. So, let's find out what's going on in the opening bell, and then we'll finish this up. And here is Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, and sucky Valentine's Day to you as well.
Yeah.
coming up next on the opening bell, we're going to be talking a little bit about McCormick Place as we also visit the auto show. But we'll talk about how the importance of this event, this space, is to the rest of the state's economy. It is a big chunk of Illinois' economy, and we'll talk to one of the people from the McCormick Place, from the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority, next on the opening bell.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Skip, do we know how Sinead O'Connor is doing? Remember
that
here locally, she
yeah.
like disappeared?
Well, I was wondering what she was doing here in the first place. Did she have family?
I hope she's okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's hope no news is good news.
Yeah, I like her very much. Okay.
We are on the other side of the card, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh
boy.
But before we get to the first question, 815 texted that her dog just ran under the bed while Esmeralda was sitting.
It only works on cats.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. The cats were all over, you should see, Michigan Avenue.
Right.
They just began marching down Michigan Avenue.
Multiple choice, for some reason, again.
Jim Croce.
What incomparable musician wrote this song? A, Carole King.
Okay, come on.
B, Axl Rose. C, Bono. D, Prince.
Seriously, Axl Rose is a choice on this? It's Prince.
I believe that was Esmeralda's question.
Oh, it was?
Was it? I didn't know. Well, I thought it was yours. Prince.
All right, there you go. But you knew that already.
Yeah, no, I knew
right,
that.
Okay. Now it's my question. Yes. All right, Esmeralda, you answer this one.
What?
If I can.
What house pet does Glenn Close boil to death in the movie Fatal Attraction?
A rabbit.
A rabbit's
right. Correct.
Okay, thank you, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now answer your own damn question.
Okay.
Multiple choice. I think actually this one's a good multiple choice. Esmeralda, what does Eric Roberts lose in The Pope of Greenwich Village? A, a winning lottery ticket. B, his thumb. C, diamonds. D, his virginity. What does Eric Roberts lose in The Pope of Greenwich Village? Winning lottery ticket, his thumb, diamonds, or his virginity?
Thumb?
That is correct.
All right.
Nicely done.
What?
The mob?
Does that have to do? They took my thumb, Charlie!
Nothing.
The Pope.
Oh, the Pope.
That's a good question, Skip.
Hey, man, if you're going to complain, you can praise him, too. I just read the cards.
I understand. You ever see The Pope of Greenwich Village?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it about the mob?
Well, the mob does that to him, yeah.
Right, and that's what I was thinking.
It's a heist movie.
That's what
it does involve the mob. Mickey Rourke, back when he was beautiful.
Right.
And Eric Roberts, before he went insane. It's such a good movie, Pope of Greenwich Village. It's so good. Charlie, they took my thumb! It's fantastic. Okay, last question, right?
Last question.
All right, it's tied. So if I miss this, we end up in a tie.
I don't think you will, because the question is, in cooking, what does it mean to dice?
Come on!
Really? What does it mean to dice?
What happens when you dice a vegetable?
You dice it. You
what
dice
shapes
it.
Are created.
It's,
by all right,
it's like you cut it into little squares,
small cubes.
Yeah. Yes.
That would have been great if they wanted this just kind of like existential answer.
Yeah.
Of what dice means.
Yeah.
Be like, well,
oh, and that was because dice hosted us. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. I won, Esmeralda.
Ah, sure.
Take that with you to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
8-7.
Yeah. I will mourn my loss. At the beach.
Have a great time, all right?
Thank you.
Safe trip, and we'll see you back on Tuesday morning, right? A week from today?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Have a great trip. Everybody, Esmeralda's taking it off. See you later, Esmeralda.
Bye, sucker.
Bye, Skip. Yeah. All right. See, can you give her a ride to the airport, Skip?
When do you want to just go to Mexico?
Yeah, just take you to Mexico on the jet. Have V take commercial.
No V.
You see, he'll fly commercial.
Just
you
me
take
and Skip.
You take Skip's jet.
I'm fine.
All right, we'll see you. All right, we got to take a break. News is next.